To get people out. She was very, very, very cooperative.
You started without you.
And keep, oh, okay. Oh, you started.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. No problem with you, Don.
Please, please, please.
Yes.
Jim.
Okay, I've heard rumors that one of our delegates to the national board, Donna Warren, has made sort of disparaging comments about the Coalition for Justice and how they want to destroy the board if they don't get a majority. And I was hoping there would be some comment about that today, and apparently there hasn't been. And I'm rather disturbed about this. I was wishing Donna would be here and I would be able to speak with her, but she left early. So I'm hoping that we can come to some sort of resolution about this and make sure that this is not conducive to cooperation between all the different parts. And I think we need to be real careful that we're not trying to factionalize ourselves and become a very ineffective factionalized body and just fighting each other. So if we can maybe somehow call Donna Warren to account, and if she doesn't straighten this out, maybe we should replace her as the national board rep.
Any more listener comments?
Is that it?
No, that's not
comments?
Oh. Yeah, I
don't have any response.
Are we allowed to
respond? You don't want to respond.
Yeah, I have a few comments. First comment is, I was kind of encouraged by Julie Chavez Rodriguez and Bill Gallegos and David Adelson and Margaret and all the people who are going to work on this cap and the diversity requirements and you know, or some kind of outline. That was very, very encouraging today. I think you guys are doing, you know, a great job. Sometimes I don't show my appreciation for you, but I just want to tell you that I think, for the most part, I believe that your intentions are noble and great, and that you do great work. You know, I already apologized for Sonali for saying that she has undue airtime and all of that. So, I didn't say undue influence, I said airtime. So, and I'm man enough to be man enough to commit to a mistake. But you know, I would also hope that that this committee of inclusion and diversity, that you do really welcome the listeners of color, listeners not of color, or absence of color, women. In particular, gay and lesbian people.
As long as there's no white people.
And I said people of color, you know, people of whatever color.
You know?
And, excuse me? Yeah, thank you. Be respectful. And, you know, I come here to, you know, to try to volunteer and help out. Somebody trips on me, seems like, every time that I come here. You know, when I'm helping out, I think they need to get a little bit less intense about it and just have some faith and trust in me that I'm going to try to do the best job that I can.
And Lawrence, I want to thank you for all the work you did helping us put the meeting together. And everybody involved in that effort. That's really quite a job. Thank you.
I want to
say some things to you that, that have to do with the retreat that you have upcoming. And I made these comments to Don, I don't know, a few weeks ago. Don was actually sitting around with five or six or seven Coalition for Justice members. He was all by himself brooding.
Uh-oh.
He survived. He didn't even realize he was in a hostile environment until someone pointed out. It still wasn't hostile. But, you know, we were talking about the fundamental conflicts that exist on this board and the ideological clash that, that occurred in the period leading up to the formation of this board. And my feeling is that, you know, look, y'all are getting a lot done, right? And you're wrangling madly over issues of procedure and so forth. What's really behind it is who's going to dominate, right? And everybody's just, I mean, in my view, just watching it, everybody's really scared that the other side's going to get an edge, right? But what's the fight about? You know, what's the edge about? You know, where's the stake in it? The stake has to do, I mean, political politics, in my view, and you can disagree with this, but here in L.A., it's the same as it is, has apparently always been. It's will the West Side control, or will the East L.A. control, or will South Central control, and that's, it seems to fit the pattern anyway, whether it's people's motives or not. It seems to me that, you know, the network has had a race and nationality policy for 2 years, it's never been implemented, and it calls for diversity training, you know, and it's like, I was very serious. I mean, that motion that came forward today around the cap should never have come forward. I mean, Terry was telling me, he told him the same thing in the stuff for committee. It should never have come forward. It's unconscious. It may not be deliberate, it may not be, you know, antagonistic, but it's unconscious. And I think that if y'all could get in and do diversity training as an LSD, that you could begin to find, see, the reason the race war happened at Pacifica, having been one of the people who started the race war, I can tell you how it started and why. I mean, it started around even Georgia, but it happened because we couldn't get the race and nationality policy in place, and so we couldn't establish a common language so that when we talked about things like what was happening with Eva, we couldn't even communicate, and it all blew up. Well, y'all can't communicate either. You still can't communicate, and you're never going to be able to communicate until you get a language to communicate in. And the only way to get that language is to choose among the several varieties, and the very distinct ideological divisions between how they approach diversity training, to get someone in here to bring these issues to the fore, because you can't talk about anything because everything's going to explode, because the issues of racism underlie all this manipulation and backroom dealing and bullshit and wrangling that happens when you have meetings is about this issue. That's what everybody's doing it to contain the explosion. Everybody's doing it to keep the edge so that they don't get excluded, you know, and whatever. Deal with that. When you do your retreat, deal with it finally. And let this LSB bring forward a resolution on affirmative action if y'all are serious about diversity. And if you're not serious about diversity, resign. You don't have any place in Pacific as far as it is.
Anyone have any objection to me taking a couple of snapshots?
Can I respond?
Are the listeners done? I didn't have a list.
I heard of a wonderful book that was being promoted on one of the programs about the privilege, about the unconscious racism that does go on in people, and I thought that maybe just now by thinking of this, maybe that could be a book that everybody could kind of read and then discuss or something. It would be one point of agreement. We are all going to talk about this, focus through that one person's book, or there's other ways to do it, but then it would make me totally aware of it. Like, oh, I never thought of that. Oh, you know, so it's like a very, I can't remember what program it was on, but I'm sure it could be found, about the privilege that white people automatically take. You know, I'm one of them, so I have to say this. But I see it in other ways. Like, the Feminist Magazine program is not representing me either, so it's like, you know, so I think there's a lot of issues about where you are distinctive and where you are diverse and how you work together on all the common ground that's so much more important than our little differences, okay? So that's my point as a listener.
Do you remember the name of the book?
No, but I can find it.
Are there any other comments?
To speak who have not? Myla?
Okay. Well, I would just like to say that, I really appreciate everyone on the board, and I am offended when their intentions are questioned as they were today. I think
that, for one thing, characterizing white people on the board as white liberals is a very derogatory way of labeling people, especially people who have a lifetime history of working for social justice and for social change. And to try to dismiss them or marginalize them as white liberals is unfair. And I think that it's very important that we all try to work with one another and understand that, that we have an exceptionally wonderful board, and people have good intentions. And I don't think that anyone on this board would have any intention whatsoever of creating a community advisory board that isn't comprised of representatives of all communities in the KPFK listening area. And I'm offended by people who accuse members of this board of having some kind of base reactionary motives. I don't believe they have those motives, and I don't think that their lifetime of work would reflect that. Thank you.
Myla, you approached me. You might as well say it was Margaret Prescott.
No,
you approached me afterwards. Cuss me out about how
I didn't cuss you out. Hey, don't just
excuse me,
I
people.
To talk to you.
Oh, I think
it's my turn. It's my turn.
Public.
Don't
wait, you know what? This is supposed to give the board an opportunity to understand what listener sponsors think. Now, sometimes we agree with what they think, and sometimes we don't. But I think Margaret Marie was first in response.
No, my only point is I don't mind being named publicly. I mean, I know sometimes it's a diplomatic.
Yeah, but we
don't want to mention names.
Noted.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay,
no, noted.
That's no problem.
And I didn't cuss you out. Please.
No, noted.
Okay, so Marie Geary. Now, Marie is going to speak. If there's no other listener sponsor who has not spoken.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
Sonali earlier, you know, invited everyone to the committee meetings. I'm just wondering, you know, I'm a netizen. You know, I don't live on the computer, on the net. But is there a mechanism in place where such announcements as committee meeting dates, is there a link on the KPFK site, for instance, that is regular? Because I find it confusing at times to find the information I want.
KPFK.org, and then go down to LSB meetings and committee meetings and share. They're there.
It's on the right
margin. Any other listener sponsor who's not had a chance to speak? Because Marie is number one among board members, but anyone else? Okay, maybe all the listener sponsors have... Okay, Marie, please.
Okay. I just want to address two things. One is the retreat, and the other is this thing on diversity. And I'm getting, and let's just cut through the bull, getting black people to participate in events that KPFK and other peace groups around the city may put together. It's one thing that if you're not of African descent, it is very difficult for you to plan an event and include people of African descent. They just will not show up. You cannot expect to get participation from African Americans and not publicize your event in places where African Americans go to. So if any of you don't know about KJLH, you know, that if you want to do something and you want to attract the black community, you have to go where the black community goes. It's the same thing applies to Latinas. It's the same thing that applies to Asians. I mean, you have to go where they go. The other thing is, when we speak of the word of minority, I think that is just a term that we use to classify people. I mean, we really don't implement any of the process. I mean, if you look at for the almost a year now that we have been on the board, it's process and process and process, and we're really not getting much done as to the things that we were elected to do, policies and procedures. I mean, contracts, when we think of KPFK, what are some of the fundamental, decisions or policies that we're putting in place so that we can have a station 12 or 6 months down the road? What happened to KPFK if an Amy Goodman decides that she's going to pull her contract? What what are we putting in place to replace them? How are we building our pipeline? How are we developing people in the community that can really get up there at any given time and really produce? So we have to be producing little Amy Goodman, little Margaret Prescott, little Sonali. We have to keep on creating and let them and let them loose to so that they can do whatever. The other thing that that I want to say is on this thing about retreat. I do not believe as board members we trust each other. So if we cannot trust each other, why should I subject my time? I am subjecting my time right now to spend 5 hours to people that I know would not invite the next person to their house. So that why should I waste my time and go on a retreat knowing that I will not invite you to my house because I don't trust you? And so we have to learn to trust each other. And before we can talk about retreat, we're just going to go on those retreats or wherever and do the same thing that we're doing right now. That's it.
David?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about what Raphael said. That it's about who's going to have power. And I've seen Pacifica as a feudal land war for the longest time. We have a king who grants lands rights. In the feudal system, you have feudal wars. And I'm not interested in this side winning or that side winning. I think some people have that structure so deeply ingrained in their belief system that they think that if you say it can be different, they say, oh, that's just a line. You're just feeding me a line and that you're just trying to get and hold power. And particularly when you're dealing with questions of white privilege and white supremacy, in this society, to say, oh, let's not have power, sometimes can be interpreted as saying, let's have the people who have their own power continue to have it and everybody else go fish. So I understand that. But to me, it's not a battle of who's going to have which power. It's going to be, are we going to change the feudal system of management? And I'm dying to get to that conversation. I think there's some very straightforward ways. I think they go to Marie's question of how you develop talent. And moreover, you know, as specific as starts dealing with the fragmentation of audience, we're going to have to look at this question of how, what our overall model is to spread the message and to have people participating and supporting the station. And all this jockeying over who's going to have power within the existing system is hostile to that discussion. I wish we could get to the other side of it.
Okay, it's actually Margaret, Israel, and then Jane.
Yeah, I'll just be very quick. As one of the people that mentioned the term white liberal, I think many people know that I do multiracial organizing, and I have for a very long time. In fact, all of my political life. And I also work from an autonomous base, specifically of women of color. And one of the, you know, so when you're in that position, frequently you get stones thrown at you from both sides. There are a lot of people who are cultural, national, and separatists who fundamentally attack me all the time for the fact that I believe in multiracial organizing because I fundamentally want to dismantle the state, the military-industrial complex, and the whole thing, right? And I want to win. So I don't think we're going to be able to do it only in our little corner. So there's that on the one hand. And then on the other hand, when you do want to call out white privilege among some very well-meaning people, and in my multiracial network, we deal with the issue of race all the time, not to undermine anybody, you know, but to really move forward in a good way. And what happened today is that clearly a lot of people I knew, you know, Leslie and all the other people, Harrison, who am I going to attack Harrison and say he's racist? You know what I mean? But if we're discussing the issue of diversity, I have my card up. You want to speak on diversity. I think that people who are on the board who are not Latino or of African descent, etc., should, because that's part of where the white privilege comes in without people even knowing it. So I said it, and perhaps I said it in a strong way, but I don't think that anyone really took it. Well, one person did take offense to it, and I was approached in a very sharp way afterwards to say, you know, this is a big insult to the white people, etc. But I just wanted to, and I don't even know if I need to explain it, because I think people know where I'm coming from, you know, in that way. So I just wanted to say that working against racism and sexism and separatism, I find is a constant work. With myself and with some of the best political people, it is a constant work, and it's not like we reach a certain point where the state is out of our heads. It's in all of our heads. It's in my head. And people have to call me and have to keep me accountable. And I value that accountability, but we can't, you know, get to the point where if we say something about race, then we're going to be accused of attacking white people or whatever, because that's one of the reasons that black people, or, you know, then say, well, why do you even bother? Because, Margaret, this is what's going to happen. Didn't I tell you? You know, it's hopeless, and I don't think it is hopeless. I think that we can work to cross those divides. So I just really wanted to say that by way of explaining. And this group that's going to meet on the cab, it's not only, I don't think it should only be open to people of color. I take Bill's point in terms of the direction or leadership. I think it should be open to listeners. There's several other, Alan Minsky and some other people who want to be involved in it, because we need each other. You know, I'm not going to be able to achieve for my community what I need to achieve without Madeline, without Don, without Harrison, you know, without the brother from the Green Party, without Terry, without anybody in this board. We're not going to be able to do it. And if we're serious about really taking on what we all claim on KPFK we're taking on, we're really going to find our way towards each other, you know, and realize that it's not to undermine anybody, but to really strengthen all of us and to hold all of us accountable. So I really wish we would kind of get past that kind of hostility and get to a point, as Marie, you know, is talking about, that level of trust and working together can happen, but we are going to have to address difficult issues. We are. But it's okay, because we all want to win, right? That's all.
Win and not be right. Israel. You're next. Israel, right?
No, I came here on the bus today. It's been a couple hours, and it's a different world out there than right here. Waiting for the bus at one intersection here. People were trying to convert people to a particular Protestant religion. They worked hard, Latinos primarily. Half a dozen of them talking to every person on the bus, spending about 15, 20 minutes when I was there waiting during the snapshot one. Snapshot two. Last night I was at a meeting in which the topic was the science of Marxism. Just people there, another completely different world. My point here is that we are who we are, but we aren't the whole country or the whole society. In any sense, we're not merely ethnically. And merely appealing for trust isn't sufficient. We have to work at it. And that, at a retreat, rather than put it down or put it on and just forget it, because I've been through these before, has to address issues that concern us, but in relation to the larger community. Otherwise, we're just a little secret cabal and so on. I remember years ago in the Peace and Freedom Party, I've been active, among other things, there was a meeting in Santa Cruz, or a central committee, and representative of the Women's Caucus got up and said, henceforth, anybody who uses the word like chairman, any kind of sexist kind of word, should not be allowed to speak, participate in the meeting until they acknowledge their error and don't do it again. I was the only person who opposed that motion in that meeting. Opposed it. I said, not that I'm against raising the issue, but let's deal with this in a way where they, in a retreat, a weekend, just addressing that, not disrupt a business meeting in which half the people don't even know what you're talking about. Two fall of their own necessarily, and other people are divided on it. It's simply a divisive kind of issue. So it isn't that. So that motion passed. Afterwards, several people, including women, said, "You know, Izzy, you were right on that. You were right. I agree with you." And I said, "Hey, if I was right on something like that, how can I trust someone like you if we really are in trouble? If you're afraid to speak up like that?" Footnote to that. It made no difference in the meeting afterwards, nor was there ever any kind of a workshop on it. Footnote. The point being that merely pointing to an issue, which is real, doesn't mean it's the only issue, and merely saying we've got to do something about it doesn't mean you're doing something about it. We have to work at it in a number of ways, and we can't do it in the context of our business meetings, which is why retreats, seminars, workshops, more than one, I see, as a way that would help. We won't solve everything. We get to know each other better. You have to address the issues at leisure, not like in 1 or 2 minutes or 90 seconds. So I would say strongly for setting up a series, which I hope we'll do, of, say, retreats, workshops, seminars on a number of issues, whether it's Robert's Rules, diversity, the whole range of things, so we come to know each other in a fuller context and sensitive to the larger community, so we aren't the whole thing. We're trustees at best, and we need to do a better job of being trustees for a larger community if we want to have real outreach and not just to our friends or people who agree with our particular point of view.
Okay, it's actually Jane, Jim, and then Raphael wants to come back. And then Leslie. So it's Jane, Jim, Raphael.
I wanted to say to Marie, to your point about why would you, if somebody, if you're not going to invite them into your home because you don't trust them, why have a retreat? I think that's the very point. If we start the retreat, and I'm sorry we didn't get to report on our retreat meeting this morning, because the retreat that we had planned is just to start that way, on objective, concrete things, to leave all the bullshit out, so that if we start by what do we need at the station, and we start with concrete needs, nothing to do with personality, I think at that point we will start trusting each other because we're dealing with concrete things. I understand, Milo, your position completely about feeling like you've worked, you know, people have worked forever in the peace and justice movement and you feel a little shunted. But I got to tell you something. There's no way as a white American that we're not racist. On some level, as much as you would hate to admit it, on some level we are. It's been indoctrinated in us. On some level, we will never, ever be free of that indoctrination. And we are trying to... This is... The black community and the Latino community has been taking it for hundreds of years. And to just even get upset about being called a white liberal, it's about time we got a little, you know? And I am so mortified that there is not a black male face on this board. I'm not attacking you. I'm saying I understand exactly how you feel. But I don't think... I think it's time that we look at this. There's no way brought up in this culture and not have some racist, no matter how much you think it isn't there. One day it will show up.
No, I'm not going to call it short, but it's Jim, and then it was, I think, Leslie, and then Raphael, and then Larry wants to speak. But someone else should facilitate this, because I unfortunately thought if we started at 10:30, I'd be free by 4 o'clock. So it's Jim, and then is it Leslie, Raphael, and Lauren? Okay.
Okay.
Then I'm going to appoint Harrison to keep the stack after that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to be one person who says he's going to be brief and is really going to be brief. Okay. There's some things you can't reverse. The results of the LSB elections is one. We have a 60% white board. Okay. We only have we have no black males. Okay. The only black male who got elected to either the IPC or the board was Earl Graham. Okay. So the Earl Graham.
All right.
Okay. All right, so you know, that's something you can't reverse. When Mark Schaub started his reign of terror, some of the first people he threw out of that station were the black nationalist commentators. And I think one of the reasons that PAC got such a boost was when Ron Wilkins was thrown out because he complained about it on the air. So we don't have a real good track record, okay, in the past. So that the fact that there's not a lot of African-American people, you know, who feel included into KPFK is very justifiable. If you think about it for a while. Okay, the word liberal has gotten a really bad moniker. When it started way back in the early 60s, it was actually a good word. You know, by the end of the 60s, it started to get, you know, thrown into the trash bin along with Nazi and fascist. Okay? It's really not supposed to be a bad term. Okay?
I did say we're allies also.
Okay? All right. So it shouldn't be a pejorative. It shouldn't, as that, you know, unfortunately has gotten to be that. Okay? But, you know, we can't alienate. I consider myself a liberal. Okay? I don't think it's a bad word. Okay? So we can't afford to alienate people who, like, sympathize with, you know, the problems that we're having. Okay? So let's kind of go a little bit easy on the L word, as George Bush says. Okay?
I want to disagree slightly with Raphael's analysis. This is a west side, east side, south side question.
You're leaving out the balance.
And the valley. Because the problem right now is that we don't have significant representation from the east side and the south side.
And yeah, you know, I've certainly done racist things in my life, and I could spend my life apologizing for them, including shutting down a discussion of diversity for Margaret today. If I did that, I apologize. It was completely unconscious, which is no excuse, but that's what I need to be reminded of. But the issue is, I've heard two white people get up here and acknowledge that racism is a problem. The 60% majority has to acknowledge that it's a problem, not just on our board, but with our station, that we are not representing the South Side, we are not representing the East Side, we aren't representing Latinos in the Valley, and that the burden is on us, even though we are white folks, to go over the edge and take the risk and go there. And that we can't depend on the handful of people of color on this board to take the initiative all the time. That we've got to make a concerted effort to go above and beyond our constituencies. Whatever we think those constituencies are, we cannot be limited to the people who voted us in office at this time. The horrible thing to say as a representative of those people, but it's absolutely true. If we're going to change the makeup of this body and of this station, we've got to do it in the next elections, and we've got to do it by getting over our own self-centered, West Side, white perspective on things and deciding that we're going to go beyond what's comfortable for us. And that's what I'm asking the white people on this board to do, to go beyond what's easy, what's comfortable, who's familiar, whose language you understand, whose talk you talk. And sit back and listen to what other people want in the stations. The black people, the brown people, the indigenous folks, the Asian community, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, etc. community, the women. Listen to them. They have something to tell all of us.
But certainly to tell white males.
I want to respond to what Dave was saying. I think Dave had some very pertinent points, and that they have to do with trust, and they have to do with the idea of white liberalism, and they have to do with what the distrust is about and how to resolve it and all that stuff. First off, it's not personal, y'all. Dave? I mean, on a personal level, it's not personal. You know? I mean, 7 times when I'm in 50, I thought I could scream and I'd talk shit about and murder to myself. But I basically like it. I basically, you know, I mean, on a personal level, I think anybody would be an idiot who didn't understand that Dave Adelson is an extremely intelligent, charming man who would be a benefit to know. Okay? I mean, I know that. And it sucks. It sucks, right? It sucks to have a wall where we can't talk. And I created part of that wall. Okay, whatever. But it's not personal. The issues are structural. I want to explain to you why that is, right? If we're talking about trust, it's not, do I trust David to the best that he can do to understand shit and make things real? That's not what it is, right? It's a question of what we actually get about what the processes are. Dave said, look, we've got a problem when we start talking about power. Are the blacks going to have power? Are the women going to have power? Are the Chicanos going to have power? Are the Indians going to have power? Who's going to have power? But we do have a very real problem. I cannot trust what Dave says about that. Why? Because there is power now. And that's the hardest thing for people, for men to see with respect to women. You know, I've struggled for years to get to see the unconscious way that my power operates automatically, without my volition, without anything, without my consciousness, without whatever. You know, it's the same with white folks. That the power operates automatically and unconsciously, and even if you work against it, it works in the other direction and carries you there. And so, you know, a white man says to me, or a man says to a woman, right, well, you know, no, it's not about, you know, who has power in this feudal sense, right? It's about something else. And I'm saying, well, excuse me, if that's how it is, then you step aside. If we're going to have equality, that depends upon you. If a woman's being beaten by her husband, right, she can't possibly get equality without the right to separate from him. First off, she has to get out from under the oppression, right, and group herself with other women, become conscious of her condition, and then come back as an equal. Because if she's being beaten by that guy, she's not his equal. If he remains in a position of power over her, she's going to continue to be abused at some level or other, whether it's physical or psychic, right? It's the same principle. If the man, in that case, can't step down from his power and put himself in handcuffs so that she's safe and she knows that the power really is equal, then there's no basis for trust. How can she possibly trust that he's not going to hit her if he's like this? Well, I don't want to call you up personally, Dave, but it came up this way that, like, I mean, you suggested that Plan B. How can I trust that you're going to let go of power and that you're serious about everything being equal and all this? Because that was how y'all held on to power. That was how y'all closed the door in our face. That was how you said, well, you know, that's how this board got how it was. So then you turn to me on the basis of that establishment of unequal power and say, let's all be equal. And the real problem is that I'm not about being equal and I'm talking about power. Well, it's close enough that I'm talking about power. You know, I've had so many people accuse me of being power hungry. I have no power in Pacifica. I never even applied to a program. You know, half of y'all have. I never even applied to a program. Okay? You know? And I got this little thing on the program council that some of y'all are trying to quash that too, you know? So like, that don't add up to nothing. It's not about that. It's about how do we get to a place structurally, not in terms of your individual will, but where structurally we're on an equal playing field. Why is it that there's Julie and Bill and Fernando representing the whole Chicano, Mexicano, Latino, Native American community when 50% of L.A. is from that group? Why are Margaret and Donna, I suppose, and Marie representing the African American community? You know, it's why? So there's deeper questions that it has to do with the audience, who's the voting for, and has to do with how do you create program policy, and who does it, and are the people making program policy for purpose, and all that stuff. But unless you step down, you still got the power. So don't talk to me about my antagonism or my outrageousness or my attacks on you, because the very fact that you're staying up here is an attack on me. The very fact that you're sitting here is an attack on the Chicano community.
I'm the violent, Irish American.
The violence. The violence. Oppressed people never initiate violence because they're the product of violence.
I just have a quick. I just want to make an announcement of something that we could all do together. Marie and myself and some volunteers in the African American community are organizing a fundraiser for KPFK, our first foray into the Black community in the Crenshaw area on July the 17th, a Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Lula Washington Dance Theater on Crenshaw. It's going to be not a large, but probably about 200 people or so, because it's really the first kind of thing that KPFK, or at least we're trying to do on behalf of KPFK. Believe me, there's a lot of hostility in the community around KPFK. Mr. Danny Glover has graciously agreed to come in and make a special appearance. Rumor has it he may do something new. The event is in honor of the 200th anniversary of the Haitian Revolution. It will feature Danny Glover. It will feature the Robie Theater. Some members of the Robie Theater, named after Paul Robeson, that have been doing a trilogy on the Haitian Revolution, a trilogy of plays. There will also be a jazz band, hopefully a display of Haitian art. We've really been working very, very hard on this to serve a dual purpose. Obviously, we want to raise some money, but it is also, you know, to really build or rebuild, you know, relationships, you know, in that community. The co-sponsors include the Pan-African Film Festival, the Village Theater. It's likely that Esawan Books, you know, will also be
part of it, Gallery Lakai, which is a gallery that focuses on Haitian art. And we also would like to bring in and invite some sponsors also, you know, from the east side and from the Latino community. Although it focuses on Haiti, we know there has been a historic relationship, for example, between Haiti and Venezuela, where Haiti, after the revolution, shielded Bolivar when he was on the run and sent three ships to Latin America to help fight and make the revolution there. So there is that relationship, and we're keeping the cost of it because it is a fundraiser at $20. If we were going to do something bigger, it would have been less. But it would really be great. We're offering, during the fund drive, a special $35. You can get a reserved seat. But what would be wonderful is if, as members of the board, each person committed to, let's say, selling three tickets. You know, even if the people don't come, you know, but it would be good if they did come also. You know what I mean? Because that would really help. But I think that's something positive. It will go to the station. It builds relationships. And, hey, we could all do it together, right? And I forgot to, and you know, to mention it, you know, to mention it inside. So thought to do it
at the next meeting.
I'll email the details. But if you go, actually, it's right now. Front page, a little picture of Danny Glover, and it has the details of what it's about.
I support what's known.
July 17th, okay? Saturday evening.
What y'all can do
is anybody going over the hill, give me a ride to Santa Monica or West LA?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can?
Okay, thank you.
Margaret, before you
like
go,
this until you pass affirmative action.
Before you go, Margaret, before you go, put down the Puerto Rican Alliance of Los Angeles as a sponsor.
All righty, great.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
A lot of other people have spoken to. Hold it. I gave my spot up to Margaret. Okay. I gave my spot up to Margaret. And that. I wasn't going to. Go ahead.
All right. All I have to say is I think we need to be thicker skinned. The people need to get stuff off their chest sometimes. We need to be as polite as we can be, but also get thicker skinned. My husband taught me that. we wouldn't have been married this long if my skin hadn't thickened up. Also, I have only three of these left, but if anyone wants to, it's an art show at Angel's Gate, Community Center, whatever it is, in San Pedro. It's called Art and Democracy, mainly put on by Asian Americans. It's very multicultural and but you might be interested in it. And just, to outreach, I'm trying to outreach to that community because I don't see hardly any East Asian voices at KPFK. And it's an important community.
We have one on the IPC.
Are you going to bring I didn't have enough to distribute to everybody. Sorry.
I have an announcement to make. No, it's just joking. I have an announcement about announcements. So, David's gone, so I wanted to address something to David. David's coming back. But essentially, Jim is right. The L word has been demonized and prostituted, you know, just like the word liberation has been demonized and prostituted. The fact of the matter is that even in the so-called progressive and anti-war movements and the social movements of the United States, people of color have to ask permission to participate, or they get assigned their participation. You know, whether you're a woman of color, man of color, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that you should be shocked, you know, that somebody has the nerve to say, you know, you white liberal. You know, for many years, you know, your ancestors and your parents have probably been calling us spakes, niggers, and all sorts of stuff, kinks and chinks and all sorts of stuff, you know. Let's desensitize ourselves to this bullshit that, you know, that for some reason you should be shocked that somebody says, you know, that you have been assigning your ideas to us and in a way doing the same thing that that the dominant political culture has been doing to us forever. Whether it's been the colonization of Puerto Rico, whether it's been the annexation of Chicanos and Chicanas, it has been like that. Okay, so I applaud Jane for standing up here as an Irish woman and as a woman. And I remember when we were at the African Cultural Center at the Canada debate, she got up and she said, "I'm a wife." So be proud of who you are. But what I'm trying to say is this. There's a certain level of consciousness. And, I work with, I'm a multiracial, multicultural organizer. I work with Wolf. I work with all sorts of organizations in solidarity with them. It doesn't really matter to me. If you could help out the cause of liberating ourselves from the yoke of this imperialist government and their ideas, and freeing the people, really liberating the people, pushing towards the liberation of the people. That's from children starving, from women being abused and battered, and from people of color being genocide. That's what I'm about. I don't care about that other stuff. But, of course, I wanted to say something to Dave about that, about this whole notion, this whole paradigm that, that the absence of power allows us to submit to power. But that's not what it has to be about. It has to be about share power. It has to be share and equal.
Yep, that's it.
That's the end of the stack.
Okay.
Okay.